Okay, thank you, Chairman. Well, now we open the floor for questions. First, we'll take all the questions from the room. Please raise your hand and we'll bring a microphone to you. Please be patient. I'll try to be fair with the wait list. After that, we'll move on to the questions submitted via webcast so we can also hear from those joining us remotely. Let's begin. Fernando Lafuente.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for the presentation and all the explanations. I have three questions, please. The first one, it's a general question regarding the shift to networks. My question is, why changing to networks now? Why is that is now the moment to invest heavily on networks? The second one, it's on the timing for the rate cases in the US and the UK, those remaining. When do you expect these rate cases to be approved? And finally, it's on the strategy in offshore. Once you finish your projects currently under construction, what should be the strategy for the company? Do you expect to continue building more projects, or it's basically what it is? Thank you so much.
So thank you very much. I think it's a good question. The first one, why this one? So I think we are a company where we give little surprises. Next year, we celebrate our 125th anniversary of the company. With the last 25, I've been the company was leading the company. And I think I've been repeating in 25 years the same words: renewables, networks, and storage. I don't know how many times you listen to me these three words: renewables, networks, and storage. For years, I've been already, we commented before, I was criticized because we decided to close our coal power plant, our oil power plant, and we start investing in renewables because we were convinced that that is needed. But I think now, I think after 25 years, I think nobody doubts the renewables is already energy solution. We can provide energy security, can provide energy self-sufficient, can provide competitiveness of the country, and I think and everybody is already in this direction. But I think during these 25 years, we have already built 60,000 megawatts of renewables. So we are leaders on that one by far. So the second thing we said at that time is, the networks, the renewables are already by nature is distributed power. I think it's not as concentrated as the traditional power plant, which are already large power plant, which are sending the electricity to large consumer centers. So the renewables are much distributed. I think the average power plant is not 1,000 megawatt that it was already the traditional ones, either coal, nuclear, or others. So at a small one, in some cases 20, 30, 50, we have one of the largest with 300, but I think that is very exceptional. We then require already some kind of a grid to take this electricity into the consumption centers. But as well, during this period, I think the uses of electricity has already changed a lot. So I think if we've been burning and heating our homes for millenniums, burning things. So with engineers, sometimes we do something which is very useful. And I think we invented many years ago the heat pumping system, which I think you can heat and refrigerate homes using electricity instead of burning anything. So but that require, I think that one, but same thing with transport, same thing with quite a lot of industries can use electricity for as raw material for making another thing. Green hydrogen is one of the cases. Or another uses, like now, is a computing, data center, digital appliance, et cetera, et cetera, in our homes. Our home is full of equipment, electric equipment. But I think they need already the grid were designed 100 years ago. Most of the equipment which exists in most countries are already made in the times when I was already in the university, which I think was not precisely yesterday. So which I think they need to be refurbished, need to be rebuilt, needs to be repowered, and need to be digitalized for already providing the services we today that people require. If you add to that one, the demand of those uses, as Pedro was mentioning, is increasing. We see that now exists a very high latent demand which cannot be covered because restriction of the grids in the countries. So, and I think that was our vision, that is going to happen, and it's happening. So I think it was, we had the vision renewables, it happened. Nobody is criticizing myself because of the investment we have already done in renewables. We've been very much criticized when we make all our international expansion based in networks, countries. So I think we bought the Scottish Power Networks, we bought Energy's Networks, we bought Brazil Networks, we bought recently an Electricity Northwest Networks, and we acquired 100% of Avangrid Networks, and we acquired 100%, almost 80%, of Neoenergia Networks as well. So, and this one, I think some countries has already wake up properly, and I think we are preserving in those countries. They wake up first, which is UK and United States, for different reasons. In the case of UK, it's because the demand is booming, and there are tremendous, Pedro mentioned as well, huge amount of money, which is already paying the citizens, because of the curtailments. We have not, we have produced electricity in some part of the country, cannot be transported in other part of the country. But as well, there are already a political decision to reduce the external dependency. That's why it means they need already electrified uses to avoid imports of fossil fuels. So I think these two things are making the regulator is fully aligned with the policy of the government for making already that acceleration. So I think if we compare our situation in Britain 5 years ago, Keith, you can already correct to me if I'm not fully correct on that one. So we've been already discussing for almost 2 years for the capex we would like to put in transmission. So and we present, correct them in the numbers, I try to be by memory. We were asking something like £1.5 billion. And they said, no, because that increased the rate of the consumers. We're discussing £1 per month, it's peanuts. So, and they said, no, only 1.2 billion. The reality in this period, we are going to make over 2 billion. It's correct, the number. So my memory is still not right. So, but, and what is now changing? Now the position is the absolute, the opposed. Yesterday, we have a meeting with the chairman of GEM. And they're pushing us to accelerate the construction. Why you can't do more and to make the thing more faster? Because the demand, latent demand, they would like to be covered, because they would like to reduce the rate of the consumers because of these curtailments, which can be avoided, and because that can generate a tremendous wealth of the country, which is the political drive. This huge investment is conducting the country growth with the investment we are putting, all the sector, with the industries and with the volumes of that one, without using funds from the national budget. So all this new infrastructures, which is not dependent on national budget, for covering demand, which is latent there, and to accelerate that one. So I think that is that one. What is United States? The state of United States, in the state where we are present, the situation is different. So the design of the grid and the design and the situation of the grid is really old-fashioned. I don't like to use another word. I think is not precisely what the country, the United States, needs. And that is what America has already made this bit, how you call it, bipartisan infrastructures.
The agreement in the budget.
So, just to accelerate that one, at the federal level. In the state level, the same thing, pushing us to make that one. So in such a way that almost 60% of the CAPEX we are already I agree, or in conversation to with the regulator, is for changing the existing grid to make a grid more according with the needs of today. But at the same time, I think the towns of the 60s when this grid was designed is nothing to see with today. I think there are towns where at that time where the people were even bombarded or the industry went to places, and now it's not any longer industries, they are homes or they are gardens. Is changing that one in such a long period of time. So we need to make already the grid for adapting to the today's needs on that one. And the third one is to introduce things which today still is costing a lot of money, which is due of the storms. Because the blackout there is costing millions to the consumers. So because the it's cost instead of CapEx, and I think we are transforming that one another one in such a way that in the medium term that good for the consumer. Also, so our vision was power, renewables, networks. Now is aware about that one. And the timing is fixed by the country. So the timing the countries is saying, now it's time, they're pushing, you have to do that, et cetera, et cetera. Related to offshore, I think we continue on that one. I think we are already in this moment three projects in construction, one in America, one in Germany, two in Britain, it's four, two in Britain. And I think which is already those one is finishing soon in 2026, 2025, American one, 2026, the British and the German, and in 2028, another British. But now it's another auction here. So I think probably we will participate on the process of VR7, which that gave another project there. We have another pipeline in other countries. I think we will see. I think there are not more opportunities. If there are opportunities, always based in secure prices, CFD or similar, and with proper return, with a prudent approach of that one. So we have pipeline, and we will be ready to make that one if there are already the terms and conditions for gaining those one in a profitable manner. But I think, I insist on that one, nothing is new. We have 25-year-old vision, renewables, networks, and storage. Sorry, storage I mentioned as well. In storage as well, we've been already transforming our dams in Spain, is why we have more dams. In reversible, we continue making that one. Pedro mentioned a couple of them. We continue time to time, but the biggest one is done. We double the size of Cortes La Muela, and we invest already in the Tamica River, which is pure pumping storage with facility, which is the only big one has been built in Europe in the last 20 years. So what I think, and we are already, as we mentioned, in storage in Australia. In Europe, this is profitable, we will make as well. But I think certain we have a tremendous advantage with our pumping storage facilities, which we have the dams, and we have already, the only thing we have to change is the turbines. I think the rest is already absolutely used with little investment. We can already obtain a very good result during very long period of time, which is crucial. It's not a question for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. We can already stand for 20, 30 hours when we can store it, electricity, and 20, 30 hours, we can already generate electricity, not the battery, which is already much shorter period of time. Can mention.
Okay, I think in terms of the regulatory filings, rate cases, etc., in the UK, I think two different things. Transmission, as you know, first draft of RIIO-T3 is already on the table. It will be finalized by the end of the year and goes into 31 from April 26 into 31. So we are done. In terms of distribution, the current ED2 it goes into basically March 28. So I think, we just have, the pending for ED3, we will be, 2/3 of the year, and we will be filing that next year. So I think also probably taking care. In terms of the US, we filed in New York. We have asked for 5 years. They gave a 3-year rate case to National Grid right now. I think in our opinion, that's consistent with our previous 3-year rate case that we got, 3 years ago. I think the implementation, the agreement will probably be in the second quarter of next year. So, and it will go beyond, 28. So from that point of view, we'll be done. I think, remember, we're not now, as we were 3 years ago, in a 10% inflation environment and things like that. We are daily, weekly with the Public Commission. We got the securitization bill. Dynamics both in Maine and New York are very, very good in terms of relationship. Maine, the same thing. In third quarter next year, we'll have the rate case, which it will be at least for 2 years, probably even more. So I think if you see all of that, very comfortable that most of the things have been taken care of.
Okay. Alberto, Javier, afterwards. And on the my left side, Peter. Alberto.
Thank you so much, Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs. Three as well. I wanted to start on power demand, if you don't mind. And it's a two-part question. The first part is, do you think Europe is ready to cope with 2-3% increases in demand because we have not been building backup? Networks are 40 years old. many players are cutting renewable capex. So are we going to see a crunch point in Europe at some stage, and when? And the second point on the power demand, there was a slide earlier, I think, Pedro, was in your section, if I'm not mistaken, where you're basically saying that network investments reflect growing power demand, but you don't seem to put through power demand in retail. You don't seem to have higher profits from flexible generation, and you don't seem to put through higher PPA prices in your renewables. So I guess we have the sensitivities at the back, but my question is, if you were to put through 2-3% increase in demand throughout the entire business of Iberdrola, the entire value chain in electricity, what would the 7.6 billion net income become? And sorry, first, that was just the first. Sorry, second question on renewables. We are starting to hear from some players in the United States that we went from, you know, a very tough situation in January, February, March, to actually a very constructive situation right now with less competition, clients very willing to sign PPA, double-digit IRRs. Do you have room? Well, first, do you agree with this? And secondly, do you have room in your business plan to accelerate a bit renewable investments in the US if the situation were to continue? Last question, much quicker. On the 2031 growth rates, if you keep 15 billion, more than 15 billion investments per annum, where do you see the growth rates in the bottom line at that point? Still mid to high, high single digit, mid single digit, any indication you can give over and above what we've seen in the slides? Thank you for your patience.
Okay, so I think if we see in most countries, I think the needs, the demand, latent demand is huge. Cannot be covered now. I think we saw the other day in Spain, is our network is saturated at 90%. So it's not our network, the networks of all the colleagues. So I think there are almost 60,000 megawatts of demands of new uses of electricity that we cannot be covered. Let's say the grid is, I make always some correction of that one. Let's make then half of it is speculative. So even if it's speculative, 30,000 megawatts of new needs is a huge. Nevertheless, with today's situation, a demand is growing. So even with this constraint, the demand is growing. And I think I can tell you the number of people which are sending me letters just to try to accelerate the connection, to facilitate whatever, is huge. So only data center is huge. But a data center, we are making the first one, we are making close to Madrid, between Toledo and Madrid. And only that one is consuming 1 terawatt hour. It's more, one terawatt hour, one center. 1 terawatt hour is representing 2% or 1.5% of the total demand of Spain. So one, I think, we make as much as is today demanding, that is huge. But I think same with electric vehicles. Electric vehicles, Spain is the number of new cars, electric cars, is 5-8% of the total. But I think Portugal is 25%, and other countries is 50%. And why? Because we have not enough, we have charges with no connection, because still they are already this lack. So I think I'm optimistic about the demand is going to boom. I'm optimistic about those numbers. But nevertheless, I said, and I insist on that one, I think I don't know how many plans we have already made. Always, we have already made more than what we plan, always. We always very prudent, very conservative approach. So Pepe makes some sensibilities. He makes some comment on that one. If the demand increases more than we are expecting, in that case, the prices will have the trend to increase that one. We are seeing in the United States, the prices in this moment in the United States is booming. Why? Because demand is booming, and there's not enough power for covering that one, and automatically the prices increases. So how much it should be? I think, sure, you have better analysis than myself on that one, but certain I insist, all our analysis is based in conservative approach. I think should be the first time if we are not exceeding the plans we make. I think Pepe mentioned 2026. In 2025, we are going to make more than we are expecting in the previous plan for 2026. In 2026, we will exceed by far 2025. So I think that is the way how we are working, because the plan is not the plan. The plan is the beginning of continue working for achieving more things. So we are not already fixing this target. We are fixing this target as orientation, but we have to do more. So Renewable USA room. So, well, I think we have to be realistic. I think we have pipeline. We can make more. But realistically, 28 is tomorrow. So, and I think to make already a wind farm in the state or Europe, it's taking longer. I think it's since the moment you start having the permits, construction, etc., you are already suddenly overpassing 28. Saying that, if there are projects in the United States or whatever, which are already with good profitability, with good returns, I think, of course, we are going to look at those ones. I think our strategy is not to close our eyes toward opportunities of making business. If there are opportunities, we will find out the room, don't worry. David will find out how to make some rotation, and Pepe will find out some money for that. Don't worry about that one. I think we will make good business, we will make. But I think realistically, that's why we are showing you what are the projects which is in construction. So to give you the numbers that we are not dreaming, same thing we cannot be made, is things which are in construction. 75% of those are already being going to be built and generating cash flows before 2028. And another 25% you are already pipeline, which can be already putting part of them in operation, part not, but I think is there on that one. If there are more than that, we will see, of course. They are not already limitation, not in the state, no one country. If they are good business, we are ready to make those ones. And we will find other resources somewhere else. Don't worry. Without making increase in share capital.
Javier Garrido here, and then after Peter Vistiga. And let me.
Thank you. Javier Garrido, JP Morgan. I will have two questions. First would be, to the chairman, you have mentioned the word transformation a few times in your presentation. What about transformation via M&A? What are your thoughts about, particularly, if I may, a specific opportunity, German networks? I mean, it ticks a lot of the Iberdrola boxes, developed markets, transmission. What would you think about such a move? And then a second question would be associated to your willingness to take on opportunities and your vision about demand growth. What is your view about building CCGTs? There was a time when Iberdrola built a lot. You have a big fleet in Spain, but outside of Spain, there might be big opportunities in different markets. What's your view, and is that view driven by environmental drivers, more driven by economic drivers? How do you see it? Thank you.
So the first one, transmission Germany, we know that one very well, but we are going to participate in that one. Our M&A is fully already done. I think we like to come to this CMD with all our financial resources secure, and all our, let's say, potential M&As already done. So I think no M&A is any one idea on this plan, certain in the German we are going to be. So clear, crystal clear. No way to be already in this one. The second one related to CCGTs. So I think our approach is very clear. So I think energy policy is made by countries, by governments. We are not making that one. I think it's the country decide what to do. There are countries would like to make nuclear power plant like France. There are countries would like to make offshore like Britain or like Germany. And now in the state they've been looking for renewable, and they're saying that they would like to not against the renewable, they would like to base to use their base load in gas. I think in the previous turn of Mr. Trump was looking for coal. So and I think it's the same question somebody asked to me, we are going to make things with coal mines. We could combine the coal power plant. It's not our point. So that's why I think We are not opposed to any kind of technologies. It depends on the country. But I think being realistic, 2028 is tomorrow. And tomorrow is those ones you have in hand. I think if you start now thinking in what to make CCGT in countries with a policy asked to us to make this one, cannot be probably in operation before 2031, probably 32. First, because there are no turbines, there are no sites, there are no connections. So that's why our plan is 3 years, is tomorrow. And I think tomorrow we are renewables. Those one we have in construction, 70% in construction, and another one ready to build with immediate one. Networks with a rate case, which is signed or very advanced negotiation of that one. We have visibility and some pumping storage, what we are in this moment already just in construction, doing or starting to do rapidly. So that's it. So 2020 is tomorrow. The maturity any of our project takes 5, 10, 15 years. So I think 28, if you have nothing in hand, we cannot show these numbers. So this number is based on something we have in hand. Not impossibilities, no, those one. Not M&A, not renewables more than those one we have here in hand, no more whatever. So just based on that one. So, but I think, I insist on that one. Energy policy is made by countries. So in the countries, we are in a country saying that now they are saying, we need you for investing more in networks. So we are investing in networks because they like to invest in networks. So that's the point. Eh?
Peter, here, then Gonzalo, and after Rob. Manuel, Hadmet.
Peter Bestegger from Bank of America here. So three questions, if I may. First of all, could you talk about the supply chain for networks, particularly vis-a-vis your significant transmission investment in the UK? How confident are you that you can deliver the projects along the timeline that you've set out for actually both 2028 and 2030. So that's my first question. Secondly, in the US, your current allowed or achieved ROEs are quite a bit below your allowed ROEs, particularly in Maine. There's also quite a lot of focus on upward pressure on energy bills in the US at the moment. Do you see any risk that regulators will push back on your rate case requests, and that you may fail to achieve the returns that you're targeting in that region? And then my last question, maybe a short answer, maybe a long one, but could new nuclear ever be part of your strategy? Thank you.
So supply chain. So I think Pedro has already mentioned that 95% of our supply chains for networks is already local production in this country, so which I think. And second is, I think in the case of UK, a few years ago, we launched just an auction, a bid, for contracting already for securing this the transmission and distribution equipment which we feel is going to be needed. So if you don't remember bad, it was already 5 billion appel d'offre, like it said the French people, for already securing that one. Now we have already slots for the most critical items. In certain of those slots, even is funded by, because we pay some amount of money by the regulator, by OGM. So I think if we would like to secure our cable by 2028, cable is already an advance payment, which is regulated payment we have already got for putting that in operation. And the rest of the equipment is already, yes, agree, in terms for securing all those ones. I think the most critical item was, if I don't remember that, we are already cable, one of them, and converters. In both cases, both things are fully secure. I think there are another one, we had in the past in other countries, we have problem with transformers, which I think actually now that is fully secure. We are already moving transformer from Brazil to United States, and moving transformers in Europe from a part to another one, but now it's fully secure all those ones. So I think we are not seeing risks on the supply chain at all because we made this thing in advance. We secure already the slots for having already this production ready in the time we require, and we pay for it. So, which in the case of Britain, even is already paid to us by the regulator. Return equity in the United States, Pedro?
I think in the utilities, you mentioned CMP. Remember, it's at the end of the year when you have the full year. So that's why during the year you may be up or down a little bit, but we are on target to achieve the ROE in CMP as well. The only utility that we do not have, you know, right now the ROE, you know, is Connecticut, because it's under litigation. So if we were to be successful in litigation, we will be it will be the third year in a row to achieve all the ROEs that we have. You mentioned the pushback by people. I think to have a securitization bill just for us in New York this year, with full approval in the Senate and the House in Albany, I think it's outstanding, you know, to have $100 million recovered. So that shows the relationship that we have. All the storms recovery in Maine, you know, you will have this afternoon the team, you know, to explain it, you know, is non-stop in the last, you know, 18 months in both, you know, in both states. So from that point of view, I think the pushback 3 years ago, inflation 10%, and we managed to get the rate cases 3 years ago, you don't have that pressure right now. You remember the part of the consumption by an average family in New York or Massachusetts or Maine, you know, the electricity bill is actually one of the smallest compared, you know, to gas fuel for the car, you know, with telecom, you know, expenditure, with, you know, rentals, you know, with, you know, actually retailers expenditure, et cetera. So I think we have good arguments.
So I would like to use this opportunity for mentioning that Pedro has already done an extremely good job in the U.S. the last years. So I think as a result in 2025, we are achieving a lower return equity for almost all our rate cases. I think this afternoon here is Joy again, they can confirm today. We have a better rate case negotiation. I think the relation with regulators is extremely, extremely positive. Ken, you are doing a very, very good job on that one. We have almost no penalties, so which I think that was an important thing. But nevertheless, I think is that this afternoon we will have the detail. But as well, as Pedro mentioned, I think we had problems of cash collection. We are improving a lot on this term as well. So I think that is a reality. I think our business in the United States is becoming a very solid, consistent, predictable, and attractive area of the group. And that's why we are already just beating very much in our plan to continue making so. I think they are a very strong team, which is making that one. And I think José Antonio and Suar is going to follow the trend of Pedro's and with the team that has been created for continuing that one. Related nuclear, so I think if I'm already related CEGTs that in best case, the first one cannot be built before 2031, 2032, if we talk about nuclear power plant, probably no one will be built before the 40s. I think it's the times of design, pre-design, security, approval, etc. It takes dozens of years before you get this approval. So what is realistic, I think, enough for our side? So realistic for our side is that, for our side, for whatever, is what the world is doing, is extending life of the existing fleet. So that is the realistic approach for keeping already benefiting of the positive effect of the nuclear power plant in terms of competitiveness, in terms of environment, in terms of energy security, in terms of base load. I think recently the European Commission, the president, is already just considering nuclear as green, so it's not any longer treated as a special one. And I think all countries is already just increasing the life, which I think with little extra cost can already continue generating and producing in a safe, competitive manner. So I think I used to say that an engineer, as an engineer, I can say the nuclear power plant has already demonstrated from the last 60 years that they are safe, that they can provide a good service, and they are a very good alternative for keeping the lights on as base loss alternative to others, alternative that it was already called in the past.
Gonzalo in the back, then Manuel, and after Ahmed, there is more question here. And Rob, sorry. After Gonzalo is the round of Rob. Sorry about that.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Gonzalo Sanchez-Bordona from UBS. I have three questions on my own. First one is related with the Spanish situation. Is I mean, obviously, Spain is becoming less and less relevant for the overall business, but I would imagine with the number of things going on in terms of regulatory developments or potential regulatory developments, I was wondering whether there's any upside to the numbers you've presented today on 28 specifically, if things go better based on what you've been publicly been saying on the regulatory review for distribution specifically, and whether do you expect any sort of advancements in terms of batteries, storage, hydro, potentially any projects coming on stream by 28, if that's even possible. So that was the first question, basically upside based on regulatory decisions in Spain. Second question is on the situation of Vineyard Wind in the US. We've seen a lot of turmoil around several offshore projects in the US, which obviously are not this one. I just wanted to clarify whether you expect any issues. Are you seeing any issues? Is the current situation stable on that project? And then the third one is, I guess, for Pepe. It's been made clear you're not incorporating any sort of M&A or not expecting any M&A in this plan. But looking at the FFO net debt of 22% that you're targeting, looks like there is a little bit of space there. So I'm just wondering, what is your like minimum threshold of comfort in terms of balance sheet and debt, and whether that means there's room for potential opportunities if they appear at some point? Thank you.
So thank you very much, Gonzalo. I mentioned that energy policy is made by governments. And government and the regulators has been already current or consistent with the energy policy of the country. I think that is the case of UK, which I mentioned to you, so which I think the regulator is following the energy policy of the government. And I think in the case of Spain, I think the government is as well pushing making or trying to make in the related to networks a policy which incentivate more investment in networks. So I think that's why I expect that the regulator taking note what is the energy policy of the country, which consider the government the networks is crucial for the future growth in the country. Nevertheless, in our case, it's very clear. So as you mentioned, Spain is the fourth in terms of our RAB. So we have another alternative. So I think is if we make more or less investment, it's not affecting at all, because if we are not making such an investment in Spain because the conditions are not really attractive, there are plenty of places where we can put the money there with better returns. So in other words, nevertheless, we are planning in the country, in Spain, investing 9 billion in the next 4 years, so in the next few years. So which I think I saw yesterday, Iberdrola is the industrial company which investing more in the country, in all sectors. So we are investing almost 3 billion per annum. There are not many, there are no one company in Spain which is making that one. Saying then we are the company, industrial company, we are paying more taxes in the country. So I think it's two banks in ourselves, but the industrial is the largest. The largest investor in the country, in all sectors, and the largest industrial company paying taxes. So I think Spain is important for us, but it's very important for the country. And we would like to help the country as much as we can. But I think we have to be realistic. And I think if the policies, if the decision regulator is not aligned with the policies of the government, I think they have to solve these differences. In Britain, they have already solved these differences. The regulator is fully aligned with the energy policy of the country. And that's why it's already pushing us to make more things in an attractive manner.
No, yeah, I mean...
Sorry, Pepe. No. Let me Vineyard Wind, I not already made this comment. So you can already... as far as I know, José Antonio, I can tell you that today, 50% of the turbines are exporting energy in Vineyard Wind. So we are cashing money for those ones. In a moment, with Massachusetts, is desperately needed power. The prices are like that, and I think we are helping to the state to keep the lights on in a very competitive manner. So We have all the permits on that one, and the construction continues already been in a normal manner, and we have not had at all any problem. But nevertheless, you have any comment on that one, Pedro, you can already complete that one.
Probably the only comment is, as you expect from the chairman and some of us, is we're working with all the administrations all the time. Chairman and I were in Houston with Secretary Borgen and Secretary Wright. We were 2 weeks ago in Milan with them again. We have announced $9 billion investments since the new administration was there. We've been helping New York in some of the conversations with DC. We have gas pipelines in New York, so we are party to those negotiations. And I think this is a fully litigated project. There is not even one appeal pending on anything. So that's why, and it's very cheap, this energy. So that's why right now what we need to do is to continue working with the new administration.
Pepe, sorry.
We have some space, but obviously not for a big M&A, but take into account that we always want to have opportunities, no? There, for example, as we were commenting before, for example, we are not including the possibility of doing more offshore in the UK, or we are not including here more renewables in the US when people have asked about prices and demand, no? So we always like to have a little bit of margin because obviously opportunities can happen, and also margin is good for, you know, the thing, case things for whatever, interest rates, the currency, whatever. It's always good to have some margin in the ratios.
Rob Poulain, here. Microphone, please. Then Manuel Palomo, and after.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Rob Poulain from Morgan Stanley. Just following up that comment, Pepe, on the US, what would you like to see to invest incrementally in repowering the US onshore wind fleet? Something you've talked about in the past. And then secondly, Pepe, just two questions this time. Thanks for the clarity earlier on the EBITDA guidance. That was super helpful. If I can just dig into that a bit more. So the 2028 renewables and liberalized EBITDA implies 8.1 billion. That's obviously down from 2024. Includes the Mexico disposal, but 9.5 gigawatts of new capacity. Very rough calculation. It seems to imply about a 20% decline in your customers' EBITDA over the period, which seems pretty conservative. Could we just understand the profile of what's in the assumptions for that guide, if we've got it correct? Thank you very much.
Pepe, before you make this answer, I think I would like to tell you that in the case of repowering, I think we have repower, if I had not my memory, doesn't fail, something like 250, 300 megawatts already, which is already in operation. And I think now we have in construction another 400 megawatts, which is in the list, and Pedro has already put that there, which are in the construction repowering as well. But as well, we have already making repower in Spain, we are making repower in UK, and I think we have a strong pipeline for continue making in the future, but that is economic thing. I think it has sense we make, if it's not sense, we are not making. So, and we have already, in those ones we are repowering, I think what the expectation is a good return, so we're 200 basic points. I think certain is already an advantage because we are a lot of things we have not to repeat, and I think that's good. Pepe?
Yeah, well, you're exactly correct in your number in clients. We have a 20% fall in the EBITDA, as you say. I think the chairman has said, or Pedro, that we are assuming that, for example, we don't increase, even despite the fact that on the macro numbers, we are assuming that there is a demand increase. We assume that in case of our client business, we are flat during the whole period. Obviously, that is a relatively conservative assumption. And the other element, obviously, we come from, you know, prices that were higher in previous year. We have a relatively long-term policy, and obviously, as you know, we renew some of the consumer prices, obviously, as prices normalize, we have less margin coming from that. No? And these are the two elements that drive this 20% decline in the consumer EBITDA.
But as well, I think Mexico, which is not.
Mexico, I think,
a lot of money.
You had already.
It's for 100 million. Eh?
Okay, Manuel Palomo.
Good Morning, and thank you very much for the presentation. I will stick to three questions as well. The first thing is about the Spanish investments, because if I'm not wrong, compared to the day of the capital increase, looks like you've changed a bit your mind regarding the evolution of the RAB in Spain. I think that at that point you were pointing to pretty flattish RAB. However, today you're looking at a significant growth in the coming 3 years, and I was wondering, why the change in mind, or whether you can anticipate anything else about how the regulation will look like in the future. That's the first one. Second one is on demand, and again in Spain, you seem to be quite constructive on the Spanish demand that I guess will be largely reliant on artificial intelligence, data centers, and so on. But at the same time, you are assuming the pre-agreed shutdown of the nuclear, and I wonder to what extent it could be coherent, or whether that shutdown of nuclear could maybe scare some of the newcomers asking for electricity demand. And lastly, I wanted to ask a bit about numbers, because I was looking at my model, and historically the EBITDA to net profit ratio was around 33%, give or take. But for the year 2028, it looks like that ratio will increase a lot, up to above, I think, 40%. So I was wondering whether you could share with us if, other than maybe some decreasing minorities, you're assuming a much lower tax rate, or, if you could give us some light, that would be great. Thank you.
Well, I think the first point related to investment in networks in Spain, I think you have to be aware that still we are keeping the cap. So we cannot invest as much as we like. I think they improve a bit. But I think have already put a lot of restrictions. We have to be approved, investment by investment. They will supervise all those ones. They are not already in an open door to make what we like. I think we will make what the regulator allow us to make. So it's the first thing. So I think even though I think we are already putting a number, we consider which is the minimum needed, but still that number is not already approved. So I think they have to approve case by case and supervise all those ones. Things which is not in another countries. In other countries, we have a broad analysis globally, and with that, we go ahead. There, they are already putting more restrictive thing on this one. So that's why I think with this one, the RAB is growing. The RAB is moving in two directions. For one side, it's reducing the depreciation and increasing with investment. If the investment is not much higher than the depreciation, the RAB is not growing. So I think that's the point. If we are depreciating for 500 million, 600 million, so if we are not making more disinvestment of that one, the RAB will maintain flat. So I think that's the way. So in terms of the nuclear, first, the demand is growing in Spain. I think the demand is growing in Spain. It's growing all Europe. But the main reason why it's growing more is because this a limitation of the grid. I think, as I mentioned, there are 60,000 megawatts waiting to be connected. Even half of this one are already speculative, still there are 30,000, which represent a lot of new demands on that one. Nuclear, I mentioned already, the closing nuclear, I think the first power plant is going to be closed by end of 2027, is going to affect 2028. I think Almaraz, we have 50% of that one. That why the effect is 500 megawatts in a fleet of 30,000 megawatts. So you can see it's irrelevant for our total power on that one. So only with those power plants we have now in construction, I think it's more than covering those nets. So and another one related to the EBITDA net profit ratios, Pepe?
Yeah, well, clearly, as we were mentioned, as we are increasing our stake in Avangrid and in Neo, obviously the minorities are falling. I'm making the numbers, and I don't see such a large difference as you were saying. But in any case, I can review it with you. But clearly, our minorities from 25 to 28 are going to be half of what we,
Admit. And then James Brand,
After Ahmed, please. Sorry. Hi, Ahmed Farman from Jefferies. A few questions from my side. Firstly, on the 9.5% return on equity, could you give us a little bit more granularity on that number? I'm just trying to understand sort of the scope for upside, downside to that. Does that include outperformance? If not, then and anything you can say about the regional makeup of that number? What's the sort of the number behind for US or UK or some of your key markets? My second question is on electricity sort of demand sensitivity. Sort of the sensitivity, it sounds like from what you were talking about earlier, is fairly conservative and does not include the potential margin effect if this was some scenario was to come through. Could you talk a little bit about actually the volume that might be uncontracted within the portfolio and the business plan that can benefit from upside in sort of electricity demand to help us just sort of understand sort of, you know, the upside potential to your 2028 net income guidance? And then finally, you've given us a very clear guidance on net income and outlined very clearly the underlying drivers. I just wondered if you could help us a little bit about with the profile of EPS as well, particularly starting from 2024 as a starting point, when sort of could we expect the dilution effect from the equity raise to be offset? Thank you.
Okay, Pedro, can you already clarify the thing related to return on equity?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a weighted number, and I think if you see one of the slides in the UK, you know, we're assuming the 8.7%. You know, as the number for those calculations, we wait because of the weight of each of these jurisdictions. I think in the US it's 9.5. You know, that's a very homogeneous number all across the jurisdictions. Remember, FERC regulated, it goes up, you know, above 10%. You can be around 10.5%, you know, so that's the number for the transmission part, which is FERC regulated. And in Brazil, you know, we're using 16.4%. I think in Spain, as I said, approximately 8%, 7.8, that's the number, you know, we're using for those calculations. And no upside, no earnings sharing or anything like that above.
Sensibility to demand and upside potential in EPS analysis, can you?
Well, I don't know if we have a number, which is quite quite good. On increasing demand of 1% per annum from what I have and the impact on prices. And this could have a relatively impact on the net profit, which is quite nice. Eh? But I don't know if the chairman will allow me to tell the number.
In EPS?
And well, in EPS it will be similar, you know, because obviously we are assuming the same number of shares during the whole period, so it will have a similar impact. I understand the increase in demand, no? How the EPS grows during the, well, it grows a little bit less than the net profit, because obviously we have a little bit more numbers of shares. We are going from 6,140 to 6,550. If you divide by the, 7.6, this more or less give you.
So I think you have the number to summarize the thing in a very simple manner. In one way we grow at a high single digit, and we grow at a high single digit, a bit less in EPS, at high single digit. In both cases,
you can find the number of shares considered in the slide of the dividend explained by the chairman. James Brand in the back. There is more people who likes.
Sorry. Hiding away here as James Brand from Deutsche Bank. A couple of big picture questions. First is on renewables. Obviously, you've stated you know your enthusiasm for networks, but you also obviously investing quite a lot in renewables as well, but you have a clear preference for networks. In the renewable space, we're still seeing very aggressive targets from governments, and it seems like there's less capital going into that space in a way, given that some utilities are pulling back, some big oil are pulling back. I guess the question is, like, why are we not seeing a significant improvement in the competitive environment in renewables that would make you be as enthusiastic about renewables as you would be for networks, given those drivers? And then the second question is on demand. You kind of talked about this potential of kind of 2 to maybe 3% per annum demand. But we, in Europe at least, still haven't really seen any demand growth. And in a lot of countries, we've seen a little bit over the last year, but it's been pretty muted. And demand is still, you know, often 7% below where it was pre-energy crisis. So how confident are you? You know, long term, I think everyone believes in higher demand, but if we look at, say, the next 5 years through to 2030, how confident are you that we're actually going to really start to see this demand growth coming through? Thank you very much.
So I would like to come back to the first question. I think we are not becoming enthusiastic about networks and against renewables. I think we are consistent. What we have already, our vision of 25 years. So I think we are already investing a lot of money in renewables. We are 60,000 megawatt in construction or in production, and there are 9,000 megawatt now in construction. So I think we are going to invest 20 billion in this plan in renewables. Well, in the country, in those what we have today, let's say in construction, we are not already dreaming to say that we are going to make things that we cannot already steal even the permit for making so. I think we are 20 billion. I don't know how many people is putting 20 billion in the next 3 years in renewable. Give me the list of my colleagues to see how many is putting 20 billion. First thing. But the second thing is that we have the opportunity which to participate in a very, very good manner in the new era of the electrification. And the new era of the electrification is not only passing for renewable, than we did, it's passing for networks. And I think we have the fortune that we have already a presence, a footprint in countries with that already waking up about transforming the country to come into the new era of the electrification. That's why that is the sense of our transformation. Then we are the chance that our vision of 25 years now is not only batteries in renewables, where we own 60,000 megawatts and we have already another, we are putting another 20 billion for the next 3 years already in renewable, but as well of benefiting of this extremely huge demand of new infrastructure of transmission and distribution with very good return, with stability, with the predictability in countries with very demonstrated and very good rule of law. And that is what we are making. So we have the chance and the opportunity of benefiting of this new era of electrification with saying that we were benefiting of our investment in renewables in the last 20 years, now with the opportunity of benefiting of the our investment in networks because we have this opportunity. Those ones which are not in Britain cannot invest in Britain, in networks. Those ones which are not in New York cannot invest in New York. So I think as simple as that one. I think we are first movers in networks, same thing that we are first movers in renewables, when nobody believes the renewables is going to become already that such an energy solution. So I think that is the point. I think is we've been ahead of the rest of the people. We have the vision, we have the execution, and we continue with our vision and making the execution. 20 billion renewables, I don't know how many people is putting 20 billion, and almost 37 billion in networks because we have the opportunity, because we are in those countries that not very many people are there. So it's very, very restricted. So it's not something that the transmission in UK are three, what we can benefit of this transmission, which in distribution in New York. So I think there are two, what we are there. That's it, it's no more. We are not allowed to make that none. Okay?
Jorge, that is saying goodbye today and for us. And we will welcome Pablo Cuadrado that is around, whether or not, JB Capital.
Good morning. So three questions related with Spain. The first one is if you can clarify the remuneration scenario that you have in the guidance, namely in terms of financial rate of return and OPEX alliance evolution. The second is related with the evolution of supply margins. If we can assume that in Spain over the long run, they will stabilize above where they were before COVID. And the third one is if we could see some upside on the storage. You have a very good advantage in storage in Spain. If you could invest more, if the occasion arises, if you could develop new assets of storage, of pumping, either of pumping in Spain. Thank you very much.
So I think the first one is related in networks of Spain, no? Remuneration, no? Yeah. So, I think we are already putting something what we consider that is already something which is a minimum than one. As you see, even though the numbers we are putting are far below those of another country we have present. So that's why the regular our expectation is then that have to increase. But nevertheless, that is a work have to be fought by those we have not another alternative. So I think it's not, we have another alternative, we are to invest in networks. If the conditions are not the good ones, we can go another countries. Our colleagues there have to fight for improving that one, and we will benefit of the work they will. They need to do if they would like to improve their results. So related to supply margins, I think if I understood well, it's true. We have already had some extraordinary margin after the COVID. So we are, I think you mentioned the word normalizing. So we are coming to normal terms on this one, which is has a logic, which I think is the prices which are similar to those ones which are in the rest of Europe. So which I think, especially Portugal and France, we are similar level. Storage. Of course, we have, Pedro mentioned, we have another pipeline, but as well, it's 3 years, it's tomorrow. So to make any storage, even if it's changing the turbines, it takes longer than that one. I think even if we would like to make, probably it will start somewhere else, but it will not be operative in this framework period. So I think we continue their plans. I think you mentioned 3,000 megawatts of another alternative for making that one, but I think realistically it's impossible to be made. So you have to take into consideration that I'm already an engineer. The numbers are already, the number have to be something behind. And we cannot put numbers if I, as engineer, see the realistic cannot be built. And I think here is things where realistic we feel can be built, not numbers which can be written, and afterwards we don't know how to be built. I think when I sit down with my engineers, I would like to show numbers that realistically they can already afford.
Okay, more questions from the room? Okay, thank you. All the questions from the web has been already answered. We are around 25 minutes ahead of schedule. So as we say in Spain, lo bueno si breve, dos veces bueno. So good things, if brief, are twice as good. So, Mr. Galán, your round.
So, thank you very much. I think it has been a very, very constructive session. So I'm more than delighted to have the opportunity of replying to your question, always as intelligent as normally you make. But I think be sure that all the questions you make force ourselves to reflect. And I think this target you are fixing and this question you're fixing about what is the potential upside on that one, we are going to work on that one because certainly, as I mentioned to you in the beginning, the plans are the plans to be fulfilled, but not only fully have to be already over fulfilled. And I think your question helped to us to make so. So thank you very much, and now we can already enjoy with some drinks and we can already share your thoughts personally. And this afternoon, you will have the session with those ones which are already making this company transformation. And this company transformation in business with more networks and more in countries to become more Anglo-Saxon, and the new era of electrification with transforming Iberdrola in this growth company in a defensive sector. So nothing I would like that you make as much question as you make to us today, because I'm sure that they will have already as better answers than we have already made for you. So thank you very much, and now we join all of us for the drink. Thank you.